In this chapter, we shall take an introductory look at overseas aspects of capital gains tax. First, let us examine a few general principles. The single most important general principle can be found in Section 2 of TCGA 1992. Section 2 tells us that a person can only be chargeable to UK capital gains tax if he is either resident or ordinarily resident in the UK. The definitions of residence and ordinary residence are the same as for income tax purposes. Therefore, if a person is not resident in the UK, that is, year on year he lives abroad, he will not pay UK CGT. This is irrespective of where the asset is situated. Therefore, if a French resident individual sells a UK property and deposits the proceeds in a UK bank account, he will not pay UK CGT, as he is neither resident nor ordinarily resident in the UK. As is the case for most general principles, there are occasional exceptions. The most important exception is contained in Section 10A, TCGA 1992, and we shall look at this section later on in this session. If an individual who is resident in the UK sells a UK asset, any capital gain is taxable at the point that it is made. This is regardless of his domicile status. If a non-resident individual sells a UK asset, he or she will not pay any UK capital gains tax. Moving on now to sales of foreign assets. If a foreign asset is disposed of by an individual who is resident and domiciled in the UK, any capital gain is taxable at the point it is made. Therefore, for individuals who live in the UK and who were born and remain in the UK, all capital gains are taxable in the year in which they are made, regardless of where those assets are situated. An individual who is resident and domiciled in the UK will therefore pay capital gains tax on his worldwide capital gains. Equally, a capital loss on a disposal of a foreign asset made by a UK resident and domiciled individual will be allowable in the usual way. If a non-resident person sells a foreign asset and makes a capital gain, that capital gain is not chargeable. Similarly, any losses made by non-residents on foreign assets are not allowable. If a foreign asset is disposed of by an individual who is resident but not domiciled in the UK, the rules are more complicated. These are considered next. The way non-domiciled individuals are charged to income tax and CGT changed significantly from April 2008. A non-domiciled individual who is resident in the UK can elect under Section 809B ITA 2007 for the remittance basis to apply in respect of overseas income and gains. The Section 809B election applies for both income and gains. If such an election is made, the individual will only be taxed on gains on foreign assets to the extent the gain is remitted to the UK. Such gains are called foreign chargeable gains. When the proceeds of any foreign chargeable gains are remitted to the UK, the gain element is deemed to be remitted first. The capital gain is taxed in the year in which the gain is remitted to the UK. In many cases, the gain will be remitted in a different tax year to that in which the gain was made. For foreign chargeable gains remitted in 2010-11, the rate of CGT will depend on the date of the remittance. If gains are remitted before the 23rd of June 2010, the remitted gains are taxed at 18%. If gains are remitted on or after the 23rd of June 2010, the remitted gains are taxed at 18% and or 28%, depending on the individual's taxable income. A taxpayer claiming the remittance basis is not allowed to claim an annual exemption in the year in which a Section 809B claim is made. If a remittance basis claim is not made in a subsequent year, an annual exemption can be claimed. If an individual has unremitted foreign income and gains of less than £2,000 for a tax year, the remittance basis applies automatically and no claim is needed under Section 809B. In this case, the individual remains entitled to an annual exemption and personal allowance. By way of illustration, Milo has been resident in the UK for the past 3 tax years but is domiciled in Jersey. He works for a UK charity and earns £30,000 per annum. He has no other UK income. He has various investments held overseas, and these generate income of £5,000 per annum. In December 2009, Milo sold some land in the UK for £85,000, making a gain of £50,000, and shares in Calcio Inc., a foreign company, for £60,000, making a gain of £35,000. The £60,000 proceeds from the sale of the shares was paid into a new non-interest-bearing account in the Bahamas. Milo claimed the remittance basis for 2009-10 and made no remittances of foreign income or gains. We'll consider the CGT position for 2009-10. The CGT position for 2009-10 is as follows. The UK gains of £50,000 are always taxed on an arising basis. As Milo claimed the remittance basis for 2009-10, foreign gains are taxed when remitted to the UK. As he made no remittances of foreign income or gains, the non-UK gain is not taxable. Chargeable gains are therefore £50,000. As a Section 809B claim was made for 2009-10, no annual exemption is available. Taxable gains are therefore £50,000. The rate of CGT for 2009-10 was 18%, so the CGT payable is £9,000. Milo now has an unremitted foreign gain of £35,000 from 2009-10, which will be taxed when and if he brings the proceeds to the UK. We will continue looking at Milo, but this time moving to his 2010-11 disposals. In May 2010, Milo sold a painting in Jersey for £20,000, making a gain of £8,000. The proceeds were paid into his bank account in Jersey. In March 2011, Milo transferred £40,000 from the account in the Bahamas to his bank account in the UK. Milo will therefore be treated as remitting the whole of the 2009-10 gain of £35,000 in 2010-11. As the remittance took place in March 2011, it will be treated as a post-June 2010 gain. Milo did not make a Section 809B claim for 2010-11. We will consider the CGT position for 2010-11. The tax position for 2010-11 is as follows. In 2010-11, the rate of CGT payable on Milo's chargeable gains will depend on whether he is a higher rate taxpayer. Therefore, we first need to calculate his taxable income. He did not make a remittance basis claim for 2010-11, so his worldwide income is taxed as it arises. Therefore, we tax his UK salary of £30,000 plus his foreign income of £5,000. As no Section 809B claim was made, Milo is entitled to a UK personal allowance for 2010-11. Taxable income is therefore £28,525. The basic rate limit is £37,400, so £8,875 of the basic rate band is remaining. For gains made on or after the 23rd of June 2010, gains in this band are taxed at 18%. We next look at capital gains and divide them into gains made before and after the 23rd of June 2010. Milo did not make a Section 809B claim for 2010-11, so his worldwide gains are taxed as they arise. In May 2010, he sold a painting in Jersey, making a gain of £8,000. This is a pre-June 2010 taxable gain. It is irrelevant where the proceeds were paid, as the remittance basis does not apply. In March 2011, Milo transferred £40,000 from the account in the Bahamas to his bank account in the UK. The account in the Bahamas contains the proceeds from the sale of the shares in Calcio Inc. in December 2009. This gain was £35,000, and the remittance basis was claimed in the year the gain was made. As £40,000 of the proceeds have been remitted, the whole of the gain of £35,000 is also remitted. So £35,000 will be taxed in 2010-11. The bank transfer took place in March 2011, so the remitted gain is deemed to arise after the 23rd of June 2010. As no Section 809B claim was made for 2010-11, an annual exemption is available. The annual exemption of £10,100 should be set against the gains arising after the 23rd of June in order to reduce the amount chargeable to CGT at 28%. The taxable gains for 2010-11 are therefore £8,000 plus £24,900. The £8,000 gain arises before June 2010 and is therefore taxed at 18%. The unused basic rate band is £8,875. The first £8,875 of the post-June gains are therefore taxed at 18%. The balance of the gain is £16,025, and this is taxed at 28%. The CGT due for 2010-11 is therefore £7,524. Next, we will return to the long-term residence charge for non-domiciled individuals. We looked at this in the personal income tax course. From the 6th of April 2008, individuals who are non-UK domiciled or not ordinarily resident and are aged 18 or over and have been resident in the UK for 7 of the 9 tax years preceding the relevant tax year and claim the remittance basis of taxation will have to pay a £30,000 annual tax charge in respect of the foreign income and gains they leave outside the UK. This £30,000 charge is in addition to any tax due on foreign income and gains actually remitted to the UK. An individual who has elected for the remittance basis will nominate the income and or gains in respect of which the £30,000 is treated as paid. For example, a taxpayer could nominate £107,143 of unremitted gains on which tax is due at 28%, resulting in a capital gains tax charge of £30,000. If these nominated gains are actually remitted to the UK, then no further tax will be payable. In this case, the £30,000 will be given as a tax credit. However, foreign income and gains which have not been subject to tax will be treated as remitted before the nominated gains. However, as we saw in the personal income tax course, a taxpayer can nominate as little as £1 of income or gains to be subject to the long-term resident charge. In this case, HMRC will top up the liability to £30,000. The £30,000 tax charge is payable through the self-assessment system. If the individual pays the tax charge from an offshore source directly to HMRC by cheque or electronic transfer, the £30,000 will not itself be taxed as a remittance. Non-domiciled or non-ordinary resident individuals can choose each tax year whether to claim to use the remittance basis or to pay tax on their worldwide income and gains, whether remitted or not. If the remittance basis is not claimed for that year, the £30,000 tax charge will not apply. We'll illustrate this with a numerical example. For example, Arsène has been resident in the UK for over 10 years, but is domiciled in France. In October 2010, Arsène sold an investment property in France for £600,000, resulting in a gain of £100,000. He does not intend to remit the proceeds to the UK. He did not make any other capital disposals in 2010-11. Arsène has no foreign income in 2010-11, but his UK income is such that he pays income tax at 40%. Arsène needs to decide whether to claim the remittance basis in 2010-11 under Section 809B. First, we will look at the tax position, assuming that Arsène does not claim the remittance basis. In this case, he'll pay CGT on his worldwide gains, whether or not these are remitted to the UK. He will be entitled to an annual exemption, but he will not be liable to the long-term residence charge. His CGT for 2010-11 is as follows. He sold an investment property in France, making a gain of £100,000. This is taxable on an arising basis. As no Section 809B claim was made for 2010-11, an annual exemption is available. The taxable gain is £89,900. As Arsène is a higher rate taxpayer, this gain is taxed at 28%, giving £25,172. Now we will recalculate the tax, assuming that Arsène claims the remittance basis under Section 809B. In this case, he'll pay CGT on his remitted gains only. As he remits no gains, his CGT will be nil. However, he will instead be liable to the long-term residence charge. Arsène's tax charge for the year will therefore be £30,000. This is more than £25,172. Therefore, in this instance, it will not be beneficial for Arsène to claim the remittance basis in 2010-11. Let's change the scenario slightly. Arsène is long-term UK resident but non-UK domiciled. Assume now that Arsène makes a capital gain of £100,000 on the French property. And in December 2010, he also sold some shares in a French company for £800,000, making a gain of £320,000. He remits £50,000 of the proceeds to the UK and keeps the rest offshore. Again, Arsène needs to decide whether to claim the remittance basis in 2010-11 under Section 809B. First, looking at the tax position, assuming that Arsène does not claim the remittance basis. He'll pay CGT on his worldwide gains, whether or not these are remitted to the UK. He'll be entitled to an annual exemption, but he will not be liable to the long-term residence charge. His CGT for 2010-11 is as follows. The gains on the French property and the French shares are both taxed on an arising basis as no Section 809B claim is made. An annual exemption is available, so taxable gains are £409,900. As Arsène pays tax at the higher rate, CGT is due at 28%, giving £114,772. Now we will recalculate the tax, assuming that Arsène claims the remittance basis under Section 809B. In this case, he will pay CGT on his remitted gains only, which are £50,000. He will not receive an annual exemption. However, he will be liable to the long-term residence charge. The gains are remitted after the 23rd of June 2010 and are therefore taxed at 28%, giving £14,000. To this, we add the long-term residence charge of £30,000 to give a tax liability of £44,000. This is less than £114,772. Therefore, in this instance, it will be beneficial for Arsène to claim the remittance basis under Section 809B in 2010-11, even at the expense of the £30,000 levy.